Why do people come to Trinity Baptist Church? When we ask people that question, the answer is always the same. Trinity Baptist is my family. Please open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and stand with me in honor of God's word. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, says this. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired. If we were all one member, where would the body be? But now there are many members, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our less presentable members become much more presentable, whereas our more presentable members have no need of it. But God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice. Now you, Trinity Baptist Church, are Christ's body and individual members of it. Would you pray with me, please? Would you pray right now that God would speak to you through his holy word and build you up in our most holy faith? Would you pray right now for the other people in this room that God would speak to them through his holy word and build them up in our most holy faith? Would you pray now for me, that I would be guided by the Holy Spirit as I preach this message? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. What I'm about to do is not a verse-by-verse treatment of 1 Corinthians 12:12-27. I want to make that abundantly clear so that none of you think what is about to come is an expository message, because it is not. It is a topical message on the body of Christ. But I wanted to start with that passage because that is what the church is. Amen? When I was younger, I was playing basketball with my friends. This is before any of you met me. This is before I came to Trinity Baptist Church. I was playing basketball with my friends, and we were in a gymnasium, and the basketball hoop was attached directly to the wall. It wasn't the kind where it's got all the pipes and the hardware and it comes out like that. It was just bolted straight to the wall. And there was carpet on the floor, very similar to this. And one of my more athletic friends discovered that if he jumped against the wall and vaulted off of it, he could slam dunk the basketball. And he was about 2 inches shorter than me. And I saw him doing this, and he did this several times, and I thought, that looks like fun. So I began to attempt the maneuver myself. And on the third attempt, my patella tendon snapped completely in half. And I was lying on the floor, and I was taken immediately to ER, where I was wheeled into surgery. Now, for the next 2 months, my entire body was focused on healing and rehabilitating my knee. My arm did not say, I'm fine. My right leg, my left leg was in a cast. My right leg did not say, well, I'm sorry to hear what happened to you, but I have my own life to live. My head did not say, well, he's hurt. That's too bad. Everybody who is healthy, come over here and let's live our lives. That is not what happened. The head directed the body to take care of the hurting member. And that's how Trinity Baptist Church should function. Amen? Are there members in this church that are struggling in their spiritual life? Are there members in this church that are struggling with their walk with God? They are the same part of the body that we are. We're one body. We're one body. And my challenge to you and my challenge to me is, what are you doing to help the hurting member? What am I doing to help the hurting member? Christianity in Southern California in 2016 is far too individualistic. It's me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus. Oh, you're hurting? Well, I'll pray for you, but it's me and Jesus. Trinity Baptist Church is a family, and I want to challenge you to devote yourself not just to your own spiritual growth, but to the spiritual health of the entire body. Romans 12:10, behind me on the screen, says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Be devoted is our Greek word of the day. It's a compound word. It's on the back of your notes. Philos is the word for friend. And storge, you may have heard that there's three Greek words for love. There are three Greek words for love in the New Testament, but there are actually four Greek words for love. There is agape, philio, eros, and storge. Storge is the word for family love. Family love. So you combine the word philos, which is friend, and storge, which is family love, and you get philostorgos, mutual love, describing the mutual love between a parent and a child. The mutual love between a parent and a child. The mutual love between a husband and a wife. And Paul says, have that kind of love. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What does that look like, Trinity Baptist Church? What does that look like? Number one in your notes, we should serve one another. We should serve one another. John 13:13 says this. Jesus said this to his disciples, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example that you should do as I did for you." Galatians says the same thing. Galatians chapter 5, "You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." We are committed to praying for each other. And I'm so proud of Trinity Baptist Church for that. But what I want to tell you this morning is praying for each other is not all there is to loving one another. Praying for each other is the beginning, but it is not the end. You are committed to praying for one another. Many of you are committed to praying for 12 people. I want to challenge you this morning to go beyond praying for your 12 people and serve those 12 people. Number two in your notes, we should admonish one another. We should admonish one another. Romans 15:14. "And concerning you, my brethren, I myself also am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another." When you drive, or when you are taught how to drive, you are warned of something called a blind spot. You've got your rearview mirror in front of you. You've got the side mirror over there. But if you only look in the rearview mirror and the side mirror, there's a blind spot. And you know what you and I have, because we are still in these sinful, corrupted bodies, we have blind spots. And I need you to admonish me. And you need me to admonish you, because you have blind spots in your life. Because of your sinful flesh, because of your temptation, we all have the tendency to rationalize our behavior. And that's why we need each other. We have blind spots, and we need each other's help. Number three in your notes, we should bear one another's burdens. We should bear one another's burdens. The Greek word describes carrying someone's burden. Like perhaps you've seen someone carry someone else's luggage. You're overwhelmed with your luggage, and someone is going to say, "Oh, I'll get that for you." I saw that. We've all seen that. If you're traveling with a group or with a family, one person has a bunch of bags, and someone will come and say, "I'll get that. I'll get that for you. I'll get that for you." And sometimes if there's a particularly weaker member, the other members will carry all of their luggage. That's what the Greek word reminds me of, and that's what we have to do. In Galatians chapter 6, we want to keep the verse in context. Amen? Galatians chapter 6:1 says, "Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore that person." The Greek word restore describes literally the mending or the setting of a broken bone. And then the very verse after that says, "Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ." So, in context, it's obviously talking about sin and temptation. We are all prone to sin and temptation. I need your help to live a holy life. And you need my help. And we need each other. We need to bear one another's burdens. But there's other burdens in this room too, amen? There's financial burdens. There's spiritual burdens. There's family burdens. There's all kinds of burdens. And for 48 hours, I saw Trinity Baptist Church bear Diane's burden. And I want to tell you on this, my final day before my sabbatical, that I am so unbelievably proud to be the pastor of this church. Number four in your notes. We should show tolerance to one another in love. We should show tolerance to one another in love. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I am not always easy to love. You are not always easy to love. And there may be a person in this room that you are struggling to love. We are called to be patient with that person. We are called to not give up on them. The Greek word tolerance means to stand up straight, not get knocked over. And sometimes the other people in this room are going to get to you. They're going to drive you crazy. They're going to push you and push you and push you. And the Greek word says, do not get knocked over. Love them through it. Paul says the same thing with the same Greek word in Colossians chapter 3, 12 and 13. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with, there's the Greek word, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. And that leads us to number five. We should forgive each other. We should forgive each other. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, this is Ephesians 4:32. Let all bitterness, wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Why should I forgive you your offenses? Why should you forgive me when I sin against you? Why should you forgive me? And why should you forgive each other when you sin against each other? Because Jesus forgave you. Number six in your notes. Regard one another as more important than ourselves. Regard one another as more important than ourselves. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. One of my favorite passages. Philippians 2, verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own or personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When Jesus did that for us, when Jesus came down from heaven, took on a human body, and died on the cross for us, it was the ultimate act of unselfishness. It was the ultimate act of unselfishness. And we are called to imitate Christ. We are called to imitate Christ. We are called to have the same attitude. And if you are a believer, the Holy Spirit lives inside your heart. And that and Him alone, gives you the power to live like Jesus. You cannot live like Jesus on your own. But the Spirit of Him who died on the cross lives in you. And if you will yield and surrender to the Holy Spirit, He will empower you to have the same attitude. Number 7 in your notes. We should encourage one another and build up one another. We should encourage one another and build up one another. Churches are always going on building campaigns. Maybe you've been a part of a church that has done that. Trinity Baptist Church did that in the past. That's why we have this beautiful building. By the way, we need to praise God for the past members that built and paid for this building. Amen? We had a visitor here a couple weeks ago who is an architect. And he walked in here and he looked at these beams and he said, "You cannot pay for this building today. It'd be too expensive." Yet we have this building free and clear. Churches are always on building programs. And you know that Trinity Baptist Church is on a building program too. Trinity Baptist Church is on a building program too. The Greek word build in 1 Thessalonians 5:11 is the Greek word used to describe building a house or a building. And we are called to build each other. And we've got a blueprint. And that blueprint is Jesus Christ. And we are called to build each other up. You are called, you have a blueprint, and you're called to encourage David Gordon to help him become more and more like Jesus. And you're called to do that for one another. And that is the church God has called us to be. You see, again, Christianity in Southern California is too individualistic. It's wrong. All we ever focus on is my own spiritual walk. I'm doing okay. You're struggling. Well, I'll pray for you. No. We're in this together. We're in this together. In your notes, you have a statement. There's no blank. It says this: Trinity Baptist Church will never be the church it is called to be until each member is truly devoted to the spiritual health of the other members. Number 8 in your notes: we should fervently love one another from the heart. We should fervently love one another from the heart. We are called to love one another, but listen very carefully, Trinity Baptist Church. It is not enough. It is not enough to love the other members in your own age group or social group. You must love all the members of Trinity Baptist Church. Not just the ones that usually spend time with you. Not just the ones that are like you. Not just the ones you hang out with. We are called to love every member. Number 9 in your notes. We should be hospitable to one another without complaint. 1 Peter 4:8-9 commands that, and it says this: above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Several of you have been very hospitable to each other. You invite each other into your homes, and some of you have actually invited each other into your homes to stay for extended periods of time. That is Christian love. Number 10 in your notes is my main point, and that is this. Being devoted to one another begins with praying for each other, but it must not end there. Trinity Baptist Church, you are excellent. You are excellent at praying for each other. You are excellent at caring for each other. You are excellent at loving each other. You are excellent at bearing one another's burdens. And I am so proud to walk around this valley and tell people that I'm the pastor of the Trinity family. Excel still more. Devote yourselves to one another in brotherly love. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you make Trinity Baptist Church the family that you want her to be? In Jesus' name, amen.